This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always...
Ben Vanel here, Tommy, on a very momentous occasion. That's right. We all know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the episode name.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the description.
Mm-hmm.
We know what it all means.
Mm-hmm.
We are 4 weeks away from a very special event. And to help us talk about that special event, let's welcome onto the show, it's our third co-host, Adam G. Knox.
It's exciting to be here at episode 200, which, as we all know, is an exciting number mm-hmm. because it is four away from the big 204th episode spectacular.
Yes.
Honestly, 200, one of the most annoying numbers because it is so close to, obviously, what is the big number, 204.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a tease, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate it. If I ever have $200 in my pocket, I throw away... $96.
Why is that?
To get to 104.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Because I can't get four more dollars just out of nowhere.
Yes.
Maybe I could look around for it. But I prefer throwing money away, though. That's why I buy so many video games.
$200 is 200 is my least favorite number. Mm-hmm. So if I have $200 in my pocket, I just have to hope that at least some of it is made up in coins, so that I can chuck away even $1 of that.
Right, okay.
Getting me down to 199 feels so much better than 200.
Yeah, 199, a nice round number.
Exactly. Yes.
I think in
hate 200.
What do we got? 201?
Yep.
I don't like 201. It's a nothing number, really.
No.
202, even worse, because you're getting closer to 204, but you're not even knocking on the door of 204.
But I will say, in the pro corner for 202,
yes,
it's got a nice symmetry to it.
Sure.
That I enjoy.
Yes. 203? Oh. That's 204 Eve, baby. It's my second favorite day of the year.
Yep, and then 204. I mean, we all know.
Yeah.
It goes without saying.
What can you say about the number 204 that hasn't been said already?
Exactly, yes.
It's the number that we've based our entire mathematical system on. Mm-hmm. We want to run at a base 204 system.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask...
Because we have, of course, 204 fingers.
Yep. Now, let me ask you boys this. How do you feel about 205?
I actually think...
Fuck off. Fuck off.
Oh, we're divided here. 205 might be the most divisive number. Because I think 205 has more symmetry than 202.
Interesting.
It's a 5.
Because if
like
you put it up to a mirror...
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That
is good, but I don't trust that. And also, it's usurped 204, which is the big celebration number,
exactly,
as everybody knows, and is always the case in our society, and is never done just because one person is in a different country, and so it's hard to do a big episode for the number 200.
Interesting take.
But yeah, that's coming up. That'll be what? That's our four years?
4 years.
Did we work out? Yeah.
Yes. 204 does also line up with the same week that...
We started the show.
The podcast.
Back when we used to just kind of haphazardly do this whenever we felt like it, as opposed to a strict every week schedule. Thursday evening Australian time. Thursday morning.
We
US time. We
record every day, but we delete 6 out of every 7.
Yeah, we pick the best one.
Yeah.
So if you think you've heard a dud 1 week, then rest assured that there were 6 worse ones that week that we deleted for your benefit.
Is it right also, Knox, that we're either recording or releasing the 204th episode on your birthday?
Yeah, no. The first one was... The first one was on my birthday.
Right.
Or was released on my birthday. But then this one will just be on the 24th or something.
Okay, so what it is the fourth anniversary of your birthday 4 years ago.
Yeah. I guess I was 26 when we did the first one.
Yeah.
And this time, it's the big 3-0, which, as we all know, is just 4 years away.
Are you 30 this year?
Yeah, yeah.
That's exciting.
It's coming up.
Yeah, that's cool.
Are you going to do anything?
Oh, I tell you what, I'm fucking feeling it too. Holy shit.
Yeah, but you've lived...
The body starts to change.
You've lived an extra, like, 5 years over the past month.
Oh, doing festivals is the dumbest shit in the world. And, yeah, you just... If you look at a beer, your head explodes.
Yeah, that's 30. That is 30. That's what happens.
Yeah. It's kind of nice in a way because, like, you know, it forces you to look after yourself a little better.
Mm.
But you look after yourself a little better and then reach the same level of feeling that you did if you were treating yourself like shit at 22.
Absolutely.
We should also point out, this may be someone's first time listening. You know, regular listeners will be aware of the situation, but for anyone just joining us, Adam is in a different country to me and Ben right now.
Yeah, despite this absolute seamless editing job that will have happened,
yep.
Knox is in Edinburgh, Scotland, mm-hmm. and we are in Hawaii.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's one more. How's Hawaii?
It's beautiful. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, we had a fight before, me and Ben, about what it's like over here.
Yeah. Divided loyalties throughout this episode.
Mm.
The feelings about the number 205.
Yep.
Feelings about Hawaii.
Yep.
Being in a country together.
Mm.
I'm at the Edinburgh Fringe for one more week.
Mm.
Oh, we'll need to record next Tuesday, by the way.
Yeah, you said
waited
that
until
already.
After the... Yeah, good. All right. I mean, we record every day,
yeah.
But I'm just saying we'll need to record next Tuesday.
Yes, yeah. Of course. Just yeah. Reminding us of the fact that we record every day, including next Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll need to record two on Tuesday, is what you're saying.
Yes, that's...
Yes, sure. Yeah. Okay.
Also, we record for 8 hours every time as
yes.
well, and then we narrow it down to the
heavily,
best one.
Heavily edited episodes of this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know, boys. I think it's fair
pauses.
To say that this session will be going in the bin for this week.
It'd have to take a huge, huge error on someone's part for this to get cut down, uploaded, and published to our feed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On this, the 200th episode of our podcast.
I come home next week, and I tell you what, I am so excited for
it. I bet.
I'm so ready to be home. I think Astral Chain is out before I get on the plane.
Oh, excellent.
It's out on
so
the 30th on next Friday.
Ah, fuck. Well.
When do you come back? Are we recording on Tuesday because you're flying back on Wednesday?
That's exactly right.
Oh, wow.
And then I'm back
one.
On the Friday, Australia time.
Damn, dude.
That means... So, yeah, it's nearly over.
Yep.
You could pay for Wi-Fi on the plane and download Astral Chain once it's released.
Well, no, because Friday is the 30th, so I'll be back in Australia
yeah.
by the right. time it's out.
Yeah. Right. Well, maybe, you know, we talk about this every now and then. Mm-hmm. We do have a mole in at Nintendo.
Yes.
You know, send us an advance code, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Our man needs it. He's got 24 hours on the plane.
Yep.
And you don't have to worry about him breaking the review embargo
yeah.
because he'll be
yeah.
stuck in the air. He'll have no way. Unless it's just you doing some bizarre version of the Mile High Club where you're saying to other people on the plane, come and meet me in the toilet
yes.
and I'll give you some spoilers for this video game that's not out yet.
Or...
Well, NDAs wouldn't apply to me. I'm in international waters,
yes.
technically.
International
yes.
airspace. Yeah.
Or if you get it, yeah. if you get it like well prior to the flight, you could have that thing happen where... Remember that woman tweeted something offensive about Africa?
Yeah, about Africa, yeah.
Got on a plane, got... Like, when she landed, she was fired and her
right.
name had been completely smeared. Nox, if you tweet a spoiler for the game.
For Astral Chain, and then you're in the air and you land into just a media shitstorm where, Asha, we've been blacklisted by Nintendo, and that's spread. No companies, not only will they not send us advanced stuff, we're actually, it's like when Homer bans Bart from seeing the Itchy and Scratchy movie. Yes. JB's all over the country have our photos.
Yep.
We're never allowed to buy video games again.
Yep.
It'd make, I don't think it'd make that much of a difference to this podcast, to be honest.
could be a hidden blessing. What was I going to say?
I've
already bought it as well, using those like voucher things on the Switch.
Mm. Yep.
Where you get the two for cheaper. It actually works out to be pretty good, and you can't get cheap Switch games easily.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, it's already sitting there, the little logo.
Ooh.
Ready to download when it's available.
Oh, you did the preload.
Mm.
Yeah, because you get two vouchers. You have to buy them in sets of two.
Ah, right. I love that preload. So, I love clicking on it on the home screen and seeing if maybe you've been able to trick your system into thinking that it's allowed to let you play the game 2 weeks early. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Feels good.
Well, because we had... Was it Hotline Miami came out for like 2 hours?
Yes.
It was accidentally put on the Switch eShop and then... taken down and subsequently banned?
Yes.
It was already banned, right? Hotline Miami 2 had never been able to come out here, and then they came out in a double
pack,
a collection on the Switch.
Yeah.
They were shadow dropped. I hate that term, but after an indies presentation, up on the eShop right now.
Yeah.
And which led to a lot of stories about get this while you can, because somehow someone hasn't realized that the second one has actually never been allowed to come out here.
The old refused
through.
Classification.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess it's snuck through because it's it's got a different title.
Yeah. Someone just didn't check. Yeah. Shadow dropped makes me think of it's like a weird term for doing a shit and the shit going through the toilet without needing to flush or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Shadow drop.
Shadow drop. Shadow drop is my best attack.
Oh, boy.
But, I've never...
Don't incur my wrath.
You're a master of the blade.
Have either of you guys ever played it? Hotline Miami?
No. I played the soundtrack. It's a great soundtrack.
Is it really?
Yeah, right. It's a ripper, but I've not played the game. Or maybe I started it and didn't like it.
Adam, what about you?
No, never had any interest in it either, really. Twin stick shooter, top down pixel thing is not only doesn't do it for me, it does the opposite.
Yeah, I think I actually played Retro City Rampage, which I believe is a similar kind of game.
Yeah.
And did just completely bounced off it. I agree. I don't like those kind of games.
That one's a bit more beat 'em uppy hay than I believe.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I think you're right. It's. But so Hotline Miami is what was that game you guys played? Ape Escape or something?
Ape Out.
Yeah. Similar to that sort of thing.
I always assumed it was more of a riff on the first Grand Theft Autos, the top-down Grand Theft Auto.
That makes
incorrect?
Sense.
Incorrect. Because it kind of looks like it's stylistically doing
a bit
of the same thing.
It definitely, it doesn't have any of the car stuff. It's just sort of puzzle shooting. It is closer to Ape Out, I believe.
Okay.
But I don't know. They're not necessarily my sort of thing. Again, I assume from not having played it.
Yep.
Yeah, I liked Ape Out. I think it's with these, I've always kind of been a bit the kind of gratuitous violence, sort of deliberately shocking kind of thing has always kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Mm. Just seemed a little bit I don't know, what a 12-year-old thinks is a cool idea for a game.
Did you see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood this week?
And that is a great tease for this week's Patreon bonus episode where we're going to discuss that movie, which I assume we all liked.
But I will say the fact that I can't get it kind of makes me really want it.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same with,
unconditional love.
I couldn't decide which one to say, sex. Or then I was should I say one specific sex thing?
Oh.
Or, couldn't.
Feet stuff.
Couldn't narrow it down and I got stuck.
I might actually fire up the old US eShop account.
Oh, yeah.
And download it just to feel, something.
Yeah.
Just to feel alive.
Australia banned some other shit, right? This last couple of days.
Kingdom Kingdom Come?
Yeah, Kingdom Come Deliverance, that game that you played a little bit of, Nox.
It's been out for a year,
yeah,
maybe more,
yeah,
a year and a half.
Yeah, we did a whole episode on it because there was all that controversy about historical accuracy. And so I didn't play it because of that, but I guess some of us have, you know, looser morals.
And I didn't. I played, I think, maybe 8-10 hours, something like that.
That's actually a lot more than I thought.
It was quite boring.
Mm.
And, like, in that time, I think I got, like, a slow, small level of progress that made me turned off of it. And it just felt sluggish and weird, all the controls.
Right.
But so they brought out a DLC or something that heavily implies or shows, I actually don't know, like, either pretty severe sexual... Well, there's no fucking degrees of sexual violence. And that is the thing where... You know, that ticks it over into a ban it box.
Right. I didn't know it was that. I thought it was like a graphic sex scenes. I didn't know it was like assault. That's just fucked.
Yeah. It's a sexual violence thing. And I don't know what context. I assume that it's, you know, like some fucking villain doing it because they can't write how to make a villain scary without having them do that.
Yeah.
Which does make it sort of hard to go like, no, don't ban it. That's fine.
Because
obviously... But also, art should be able to have, you know, confronting shit in it, and even wrong shit or problematic shit, because, you know, you deserve the opportunity to fail at art. So, it shouldn't be banned, but it should be considered bad.
Yes.
From what I play.
Yes. It should be reviewed as an available game and reviewed harshly if it's bad.
Can you make that one rhyme? It shouldn't be bad. It should be bad. It shouldn't be banned. It should be bad.
Like that rhyme?
Yeah, make it rhyme, and then I'll believe it.
There needs to be like a sort of separate panel in between something's, you know, classified and allowed to be on the shelves,
yes,
or something is banned,
yes,
and it's prohibited from sale. Mm-hmm. There should be like an official thing in between that's like, okay, this is on sale, but it sucks ass. And then it's like, you can sell it in your shop, but it just has a big sticker over the cover that says, this is shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those big red stamps comes down on it. If they're allowed to advertise it on TV, but at the end it has to go, shit. Boom.
That honestly, that would be a better world.
Yeah.
That would be such a good world to live in.
Yeah, that's more accountability.
Yeah.
That's way more accountability.
Yeah.
I have heard that that game is better than it was when it launched now. I don't know a huge amount.
Why do you think that is? Surely it's not due to the recent additions.
No, I think it was pre this post release,
right?
So I don't know. I don't know the intricacies of that, but
Well, speaking of things that are better now than they were at release,
yes.
Do we want to get into this now? Because this is an update that's come out during the week to
I know exactly what you're talking about.
A game that we've talked about a lot on this show.
Yep.
And the social medias for this program have been alight during the week.
Yes.
People are dying to know.
You're clearly talking about
the new
DLC for Mortal Kombat 11. The Joker is a new character.
If we want to talk about things that are better now than at time of release, do you want to talk about my cum?
How is it better now?
I don't know. I don't know how. I just couldn't get it out of my head. I had to say it.
Happy 200, boys.
What I've loved about the many, many episodes we've done of this over Skype in the last couple of months is that it creates this weird thing where you and me, Ben, now for context for listeners, it's just basically on 6 p.m. at night.
Yes.
So we've had a full day. We've both been working. This is kind of our like sort of... You know, we've sort of been awake for the day and now we're kind of like, this is the cool-off period.
Yes.
But for Nox and that joke that he just made, that's the beginning of the day.
Yeah.
That's the warm-up to a full to a full day's activities.
Yeah. Yep.
I woke up 24 minutes ago.
You've whipped out a my cum joke before you've even had breakfast. Now that's, I mean, that's just impressive stuff.
I guess the Terminator being in Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
I mean, not the hardest fucking guess in the world, but I am Nostradamus.
Mm. That's impressive. Did we say the Joker? Maybe we did.
Yeah, we said the Joker.
Yeah, yeah. You said the Joker.
Which people are unhappy with because they've just ripped him straight out of Infamous 2.
Yeah, or at least the moveset. He looks different though, doesn't he?
Yeah, he looks different for sure. Yeah. Joker in Infamous 2, I'm pretty sure, had like the sort of spiky face.
Yeah, yeah, yes, exactly.
Is my memory of it.
That more that Arkham Asylum, Mark Hamill Joker.
Yeah. 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 This one just looks like a dude at a fucking party who's going to tell you about Bitcoin and dressed as Joker. Like, he looks shit.
Yeah.
But that is, I mean, that is a bit of a bummer just to have the same character that's in another franchise that they brought one out of not that long ago.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Bit
and
of
there's,
a shame.
There's what, two or three, like, Mortal Kombat world or universe characters?
Yeah, who is there? There's Sindel, who's, like, not that good of a character. Mm. Hold on, I'm just looking up
he could be looking up anything right now, actually... Ben, and we'd have no idea.
Yeah.
Who knows what he's doing on that computer?
I honestly don't want to know.
All right, here we go. Nearly there, boys.
Wow.
The power of the internet.
It really
okay.
is bad over there.
They've still got question marks on their own fucking website.
Let's see if I can look insane. It up faster than Knox.
Is the Mortal Kombat website geo-blocked from within Edinburgh? Are you not allowed to see? Are the Scottish not allowed access to this yet?
Too violent, probably.
Here it is. Oh, yeah. So, no, there's only one. Like, Shang Tsung and Nightwolf were already announced.
Okay.
And there are other Mortal Kombat characters. Then Sindel is the only new Mortal Kombat one. But not new, she's old. And then, yeah, Terminator, Joker, and Spawn.
Oh, yeah, Spawn
baby.
Yes.
I remember being maybe 13 or something and thinking Spawn was just the coolest shit in the world.
Me too. Did you get the comics?
I did get the comics.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't understand them.
Me either.
I didn't get them at all.
But didn't you just understand?
I could just tell that there was some cool shit
going on. I didn't get them.
It was just violence.
No, there's two versions of the word get. You said, did you get the comics? And then I said, I didn't understand.
No, what I'm saying is, I'm going to inflict violence upon you for that bad joke. I did love
Spawn. The Terminator looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's Arnie.
He looks like Arnie.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spawn was in Soul Calibur 2.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be interesting if they just keep the same moves.
Oh, it's so lazy. It's classic. It's a classic move. Just get a character from another fighting game that already exists. If he looks exactly the same, I actually would love that. Extremely pixelated.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So, yeah, whatever. That's a pretty uninteresting pack thing.
Yeah. It's no Ninja Turtles for Injustice 2, that's for sure.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Spawn is cool though. That's a cool inclusion.
Yeah.
But I guess less cool. I forgot that he was in a game or like a fighting game already.
Yeah.
That does kind of take the sting out of it. But the Terminator I think is sick.
Yeah. That's a fun addition.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's kind of
It'll be cool as well. Like cuz they do all the X-ray things where the bones break and stuff. Oh, They'll have to make him look like a machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put him in Smash. Just port him straight over into Smash. The other big you've had your fun.
Yeah.
You've had your fun with a bit of misdirection.
It's time to get serious.
So big update during the week to No Man's Sky.
Yes.
Which you are a big champion of that game.
I'm a devotee.
Devotee. Kept us updated over the couple of years.
Yes.
That they've added updates and everything. So a VR update has launched during the week.
Yeah. I want to find some of the testimonials from our group because, and I read a big piece on Polygon today about the update.
Well.
Pretty good piece for summarizing sort of how far it's come.
Yep.
Sort of going into detail, but the broad strokes are it's just better in every way.
Yep.
Like there's more detail, there's more depth, there's actual multiplayer.
It's a million times closer to what people thought it was going to be before it came out.
Yeah,
it's kind of finally, it's taken a while, but it has, to their credit, fulfilled on, you know, we've said this a bunch, but they could have just, you know, left it and done nothing to it and just given up and moved on to the next thing. Like
totally.
The fact that they've like continued to chip away at it is very admirable.
For sure. And so what I have experienced is the VR mode.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what it does is show how far PlayStation VR is from being good enough to be a really immersive experience.
Okay.
So it's set up pretty well. I don't have Move controllers.
Yep.
So I reckon that affects my enjoyment of it hugely.
Okay.
The movement is that it's like you use the left stick to sort of point. You see this sort of like a little little guide come out of your controller, mm-hmm. and sort of like go, oh, here's the point on the ground where you're going to land when you let go. And you do that, you let go of the stick, and you move there.
Yep.
So it's that teleporting movement that's in a lot of VR games.
Okay.
It's, and while obviously your head controls the camera, you can also snap the camera with the right joystick to just move your vision.
Okay.
So those two combined are okay. The movement's not ideal. I'd rather that you could just sort of like move with the joystick. But
yeah. Is there definitely no way to switch it over?
I couldn't figure it out. But apparently, I think with the Move controllers, you just can. So after
but the Move controllers don't have sticks on them, so it makes sense that you'd have to teleport with the Move controllers.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they have sticks on them anyway, from my memory.
Yeah, you could be right.
Yeah, I don't reckon they do.
Then that's interesting, because we've had some people comment in the group describing their experience with it, and one of them, I can't find the comment now for some reason. Can't find the post.
Got
in
a few
the group.
Guesses.
What are those guesses? They're buried by posts about Fire Emblem.
Oh, here he is.
I do want to find them, because there was a great sort of summary from someone about their experience with the updates, and someone who was really into the VR. Yeah, so here it is. Maximilian said he's loving all of it. It feels like such an amazing way to play the game. And Will said, I could live in it. I absolutely love it. With Move controllers, it is the most immersive VR game that I've played.
Interesting.
First time that I've been able to spend literal hours in VR without getting bored or feeling motion sickness from moving around too much.
Interesting.
That is not the experience I had with it.
Right.
I think because of the low resolution and the visible pixels of the PSVR mm-hmm. thing, headset,
yep.
I just couldn't get immersed in it. Which is a shame, because the interface design and the 3D nature, you know, of playing a game in VR,
yep,
kind of makes you feel like it's actually happening.
But did you feel like, so, you know, we all loved Astrobot.
Yes.
Did you feel immersed in that? Because all the same things apply. It's like low res, it's like very pixely. But I definitely felt like once I had it on and I was like in the levels looking around, I definitely did feel like, oh, I'm lost in this. And maybe it's the simple fact of just not having the option of looking at my phone or being distracted by things in the room around me. Even though, yeah, like when I would turn like the critical part of my brain on, go, yeah, this is slightly grainy. But I'd still felt kind of lost in that.
I think there's a distinction. I think the huge distinction is that Astrobot, you're positioned as the camera, basically.
Yep.
And the levels are designed, the sound design, the character, the movement, the way it all flows so smoothly and comfortably, all of that draws you into the world in the same way that playing any normal game would.
Right.
Not in VR. So playing a game like The Witcher, where you're really drawn in by this character, by the quality of the world, sure, the graphics, but also like the sound of the wind in the trees and people talking to just behind you. There's like chickens clucking and there's, you know, so it's all these things that draw you into that world without having to be VR. That's what Astrobot did. The issue is with a first-person VR game like No Man's Sky, where it's so close to being immersive, I think the distinction is like it's meant to be you, right? So it's
I see what you're saying. It's also, you know, Astrobot was designed for VR.
Yes.
You know, perhaps if it had been an existing 3D platformer that you just played on the screen, that then they went, oh, yeah, you can put your head in it now. Like it wouldn't have felt, it would have just felt like, oh, this is a cool novelty, but it's not.
Probably.
This incredible experience.
But I still think that, like, if it was a well enough designed 3D platformer, you're going to be immersed in the same way that you are other games. But this, it's like, because this is meant to be my vision, looking around this world, me moving around, this is me, this is my first person view.
Yep.
The fact that it looks kind of shitty and sometimes you go to like move and then, but then you forget what the right control is, or you're like bumping up against stuff because you can't quite aim it properly. Like all of these things that aren't quite perfect are way more apparent because it's supposed to be like you're living that life.
Yeah, I kind of assumed it would just be you've got the helmet on and then it's like you're in this spaceship and you're just using the controller to just move around and pilot as you would if you were just playing on the TV.
Right.
And then you can just kind of look around as you're doing it.
But I think the issue... So the best part of my experience with it so far is flying a ship around.
Right.
That's fucking cool.
Okay.
Like jumping in the ship and just like, oh yeah, I'm not... Because like I play, as Nox suggested, you know, years ago, play it on like a swivel, like a desk chair, like a swivel chair. And when you're in a vehicle, that's perfect because all you're meant to be doing is sitting down and looking around. So getting in a ship, flying out of a space station, like blasting through an asteroid field, blowing shit up, like zooming like straight down towards the ground and then like lifting up again and then flying around a planet feels great in VR. Like it's cool. It's like the best flight simulator.
Yep.
But then it's getting out of the ship and going like, oh, the movement is really clunky in a game where you sometimes had to like walk for half an hour to get to this hidden, you know, temple or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So maybe there's a way to fix the movement. Maybe it's better with the Move controllers. I'm definitely going to try.
Yeah. Or maybe you just need to, you know, only use the headset for the flying around.
Yes.
And then when you get to the other bits, go, okay, I'll just walk around.
Yeah.
I'll take the helmet off and just walk around.
Possibly.
With the controller.
That sounds like such a hassle.
It would be a huge hassle. So,
yeah. Move from the swivel chair into an armchair.
Yes. Yes.
To a second PS4 that's set up at a different TV because you've got a whole different setup.
Yeah.
You have to wait for your cloud save to come through.
But that's no, because it could be what you can do now is have groups, multiplayer groups, parties and stuff. So I would have two characters, one of them for flying only, and then one character who's in the same group for walking around.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best solution to this problem.
That's I'd go so far as to say it's the only solution.
I think you're right.
Other changes? Because you haven't had much time to play it beyond trying the VR stuff, but like, do you know what they've switched up?
From what I've read, it's more of the stuff that they've been tweaking over the years. So it's like interface stuff, quests, the way that your base building's tied to quests, character stuff, all the multiplayer stuff as well. So there's like lobbies and there's a hub world now that exists in every or in the same place in everyone's game, I think. So it's like all the player characters or the people characters go there. And then you can, like, form parties and stuff like that. And there's merchants and stuff there. It's called the Anomaly, I think. So I think it is, small, but I think impactful changes to every other aspect of the game. That's what I've been reading so far. And that's why I think someone in our group, I wish I could find that comment, said, like, everything about it is better now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hats off to him. Cool. I was meaning to try and try it this week, but I think, I don't know, I don't know where my copy of it's gone.
Mm.
So I got to try and dig it up or maybe just pay for it.
Yeah. It might be cheap now.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically, the piece that I read was, and you read it, Tommy, it was kind of sounded like it was saying it is the game that people thought it would be at launch.
Yeah.
Like,
and I kind of forgot, like in that article, there's a couple of screenshots of like the aliens and the creatures that you can ride around and stuff. And I don't think I'd ever played it enough initially to come across any of them, but the design of them is really nice.
Mm.
Like I like the aesthetic of it.
Mm.
So it just even seeing that made me go, oh yeah, okay, maybe it is time to give it another try. Like, I mean, it would be interesting to see how it stacks up having not played it since we all sat down and played it when it came out, where I kind of went, oh, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
And see how different it feels now.
Yep. So stuff.
Just the day dot.
Stuff knocks like the world generation, where I think, like, even though I liked the game at launch, I was, you know, happy to acknowledge, like, it's all the same. It was all just like flat stuff and then a giant ravine and then a cave, and like that was it.
Mm.
There was like no real geographical sort of things. There weren't mountains really, there wasn't changes in climate, anything like that.
Yep.
So all of that stuff apparently is fixed. Apparently they're still generated by algorithms, but they seem like real worlds. They have sort of interesting topography and stuff like that. All of that stuff, apparently the creatures, which are all designed, like, are generated by, you know, according to a bunch of different parameters.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently there's more now. You know, like, oh, cool. They've just continued to add stuff to this to get it from being visibly like, okay, this is like 4+4+5+3 instead of 4+4+4. So yeah, I'm keen to, I think I'm just going to start a new save because all that stuff, the sort of like the tutorials at the beginning, probably there's more stuff to make it easier to understand. Mm-hmm. It's not this confusing thing that drops you in the middle of nowhere and then you die because there's no oxygen.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Sick.
Nice.
Very impressive that they, like, this has to be the most support, like, post-launch support a game has ever had.
Yeah.
It's been upgraded
outside
so much
of, like, MMOs and stuff like that. That
I guess. I mean, it's probably done more in the space of time since launch than any other game, but you're right. It's like, you know, WoW has been around for 30 years or something, so it can't match that. But it's a crazy amount of improvement to a game that, yeah, they could have just been like, maybe I'm never going to develop games ever again because I'm getting death threats.
Yeah, I mean, not just the most that a game has gotten, yeah, outside of a Warcrafty kind of game, but even, like, just actually, and not that I think that creators should necessarily always or in fact ever listen to, you know, people going, yeah, this isn't good enough or whatever, but the fact that they actually have gone, yeah, okay, fair enough, people want it to be this, we kind of maybe fell a bit short of delivering on that, so rather than just go, no, fuck you, this is what it is, like, yeah, we'll actually work to get it closer to the vision of what we wanted and what we were telling, like, saying that it would be.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's really impressive.
And what that was like, the perfect game. You know, like, what people imagined just before launch was, like, a multiplayer game with infinite worlds, with quests and, you know, like, resource gathering and base building and spaceships and space combat. And it was like, oh, you can fly around and the space combat is awful. And there's, like, a few different looking planets and you'll never actually have multiplayer experiences.
And especially when, like, we've said this heaps, but the reason that people were down on it when it came out was because all of that stuff about that hype and that promise, that was because of the position that they found themselves in as developers, with Sony kind of, like, putting it up on this pedestal, and, like, it wasn't necessarily their fault that that it was perceived that way.
And, like, surely, like, the ultimate aim must have been, like, yeah, we'll keep adding to the game to make it this incredible thing.
Yeah.
And they have, so that's cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did we want to talk a bit about Gamescom that was on during the week? Is it finished when we're recording this, or is it still going? I think it's maybe still going for another couple of days or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But a bunch of stuff has come out of it.
Yep.
There was a new Death Stranding trailer.
Yes.
So I've got a huge list of, like, everything that happened here.
Excellent.
I think organized by day and by thing. So, yeah, Death Stranding is probably, I mean, that's so soon now that that's coming out and still not knowing exactly what you actually do in it is a strange feeling. I haven't watched a huge amount of this stuff. I haven't really had the time to be across heaps of this. So have you guys watched that Death Stranding trailer?
Yes. I haven't. I've bowed out on watching anything more of it because I just want to, you know, I'll play it for this.
Yeah.
I just kind of want to go in fresh. Like, the last trailer that we all watched, it's like, if it's not really going to show anything of what it is, I would kind of rather just go in completely blind at this point.
So what's in this trailer is similar to the previous one. And the previous one had a lot of, okay, that's a guy walking very slowly over some beautiful mountains with a ladder. There's more of that. It's pretty much just that from what I remember. There's another character introduced who's called, like, Mama or something, and there's, like, another baby there, and there's pissing mechanics.
Yeah, right. I read about that.
Yeah, that was the main thing that came out of that trailer, I believe.
I do remember Kojima having to say, like, no, you can't look at Norman Reedus's dick.
Yes.
To himself in the mirror before he went and met him.
I didn't watch the entire thing verbatim. I skimmed through it because, yeah, I also don't want to be spoiled or have too much information before I play it. But the main things I got from it were, yeah, it looks like it's a lot of walking around with a ladder and then some confusing cutscenes.
Yeah, that seems to be the big thing from Gamescom. Like, Nintendo have been putting up stuff of games that I'm interested in, mm-hmm. but they're not, like, new trailers or anything. Right. It's like, here's 35 minutes of someone just playing it and narrating, and that's the stuff I'm kind of... That's more spoilery than... You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, because that's the experience of
the game. You're just watching someone else have the experience.
Yes.
It's not, like, cut together, like, big flashy moments. Mm. So I find that stuff in particular really hard to get interested in, which it sounds like this was sort of a bit of that. Was it long? Or was it an actual trailer?
7 minutes. Okay. So it was a combination of both of those sort of ideas, it made me no more or less interested to play the game. I'm always going to play this game.
Yeah.
And I still have no idea if I'm going to like it or not.
I think that's kind of where everyone's at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything that they're doing with showing it off at the moment that's really, winning anyone over or really giving anyone much of a thing to grab onto to really make a definitive call either way.
Yeah.
I am fascinated. This could be... It could be the game of the year by a gigantic margin, or it could be the most beautiful flop that anyone's ever seen.
Yeah. I hope it's really pretentious and confusing.
Yes.
I would love that.
I mean, I think that goes without saying.
Yeah.
I think that's a given.
It'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay. I just don't know if it's going to be fun.
Right. Sure. Okay. What do you think, Nox? Because you're a big Kojima guy.
I don't know. I wouldn't say I'm a big Kojima guy that much now. I like a lot of what he's done, but I don't have innate trust in him, and especially with this game that does seem like they came in post Konami and put this thing together that seems weird and crazy and everything. And then towards the end here, you've heard those stories of like, and they are having a crunch on it, and there are similar things to Metal Gear Solid 5, which I was disappointed with in a lot of ways. So we'll see.
Because this is kind of like the big...
I'm cautiously optimistic.
This is kind of the big test, isn't it? Like he's not really getting any kind of feedback on... Like he's just being allowed to do whatever he wants with this.
Yeah.
For essentially the first time. Again, you'd probably know more about this than Minox, but like I feel like he's had a lot of freedom with Metal Gear, but he still has been doing it as part of like a big company with a long history that he would surely have to have notes or whatever at a certain point. Like
And I think that was more the case where sort of he would have done something else but had to do another Metal Gear, but then kind of had control over what that Metal Gear was going to be.
Right.
Okay.
But yeah,
that's my impression of it anyway.
This is this is just very interesting to see how much, you know, is he a genius? Like, is he actually capable of making something truly great when he's like 100% out on his own?
Because he loves these guys like these direct, like Del Toro, he's a big fan of. He's a fan of our mate Nicholas Winding Riffin.
Yeah.
Who is a director whose work is incredibly idiosyncratic and divisive. I love it because of how sort of how audacious it is.
Yep.
But it's not all good and heaps of people hate it. Like whose work is hated as much as it's liked or loved.
Yeah. And you can't really make video games in that way, I don't think.
Mm.
Well, it's less common for Kojima's games to be hated like that, for sure.
But that's because he's worked for a giant sort of studio, I guess.
Well, maybe, but also I think that he has a pretty firm idea of what makes a fun game.
Right.
I think those games, for all their faults sometimes, are all pretty fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I reckon this will probably be fun. That's my huge, bold stance.
I think that that's a completely fair statement to make about the games that already exist. I think this is the test. I think, as Tommy said, like this is where we find out if restrictions improved those games and he squeezed the art in where he could, or if he is, a very professional games maker who knows how to balance the art with the gameplay. But fascinating to play this game.
Can't wait.
When does it come out?
November the
9th, I want to say, maybe.
November the 9th. Okay. Yeah, that sounds all right.
Sweet. Cool.
Early November.
Yeah, right. It's like, it's this and then Pokemon's like a week after. Right. I think it's start of November. Yeah. It's definitely November. What else?
So out of Gamescom, though, yes. Like the first thing was that Nintendo Indie World mm-hmm. thing, which I didn't think had anything interesting looking except for maybe that game Eastwood.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that looks sick.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Ori and the Blind Forest coming out on Switch is pretty great. Another right. previous Microsoft exclusive,
mm-hmm.
Which I started playing on the Xbox.
Yeah.
And I said at the time, knowing my luck, now that I've bought an Xbox, this will show up on the Switch within yep. weeks. So to everyone who doesn't have an Xbox and been wanting to play it, you're welcome.
Yeah, super hot and shit, like a bunch of other, mm-hmm. you know, indie-looking stuff that doesn't look great.
Yep.
But Eastwood looks like it might be, it's like a top-down pixel RPG thing, yep. and it looked like it might be all right.
Yeah. It's great. Great palette.
Yeah, apart from the pixel art stuff, which is obviously getting pretty tired. It's been around for 35 years.
Yeah.
The actual aesthetic in terms of the design and the palette is a great comment. It looks really nice.
Very detailed, like more detailed environments than you tend to see in pixel art. Like
yeah.
the cityscapes especially, like lots going on. Reminds lots of detail crammed in the buildings.
There's a couple of anime artists, or maybe manga, but like in animes that I've seen, where it's a similar style, those really detailed, sort of overflowing
yeah.
cities, sort of, I guess, inspired like Hong Kong and places like that. But yeah, it looks sick. Really good aesthetic.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of a cross between Earthbound and Day of the Tentacle. Just purely
yeah.
in terms of aesthetic. The character yeah. design is a little more of that kind of, that sort of, yeah, not 90s-ish
yeah.
animation, American animation, comic book sort of style.
Yeah.
Yes, what else did we have, Adam?
There was a Microsoft thing next, which didn't really have much interesting. People have been playing Gears 5 over at in Germany, where Gamescom is.
Yes.
And apparently it is good.
Mm-hmm. I played the tech test, whatever it's called.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. And it's basically a tutorial of, like, use this pistol, use this, you know, bigger gun, use grenades. It's cool. It looks great, and it plays really well. I love the gameplay. It's super smooth, that third-person cover shooter stuff, but really finely tuned. I'm not a fan of the character, the lead character in it.
You don't like Bender?
I don't know if he is the lead of the game.
Oh, he's not.
Then
what's his name?
I forget. But
is it JD or something like that?
Maybe. But is that definitely the protagonist? I thought it was a girl.
So Kate, I think, oh man, I forget their names. It's so long since I played 4.
Mm.
But I think Kate is the protagonist of the story mode of 5.
Yes.
JD was Marcus Fenix's son, and he was the protagonist of 4.
Mm-hmm.
Describe the character.
A meaty man, I think, maybe with a backwards baseball cap.
Oh, that could be anyone.
It could have just been a soldier who was, like, you know, being used for this thing.
I think it might just be a random multiplayer person.
Right.
Because I think it's all been pretty multiplayer focused, all the stuff they've kind of put out to the public so far.
Yeah.
And, like, the horde mode and all that sort of stuff. That was what was here.
Yes.
And the actual sort of story mode, the campaign, they haven't really done too much showing off of.
Right.
But apparently they were showing that behind closed doors and it looks good.
Well, I mean, yeah, at least, yeah, graphically and gameplay-wise, it's a big tick from me and I'm excited to play it.
I reckon go through 4 because yes. it's on Game Pass. Go through 4 if you guys can.
Yeah, I downloaded okay. 4. I'm keen to play that.
Sick. Some Age of Empires stuff. They're going to show a trailer of 4 at XO19, which is in November.
Right.
So it's weird to have this event and then go, and at another event, we'll show a trailer for it. Like, but other than that, nothing too interesting. A bunch of, you know, stuff that's coming to Game Pass and DLC and stuff.
Oh, I saw a news story before we move on to Stadia,
yeah.
I saw a news story about Microsoft. Apparently, some of their, like, tech contractors, some of the work that they were doing involved listening to people through their Xboxes.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, saying, okay, Xbox.
Yes.
How you going?
But the story I read was, like, so they're supposed to only record audio from the user after they say, hi, Xbox. Hello, Xbox. okay, Xbox.
Yeah.
But what had been happening was it was just recording people talking anytime.
It's just on constantly.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the same as any piece of technology we have in our houses
yeah.
and our pockets at all times now. I've just gotten to the point where I've accepted that that's the reality that we live in, and I'm never going to try and fight the powers that be.
Oh, yeah, Matrix 4 got announced.
That is actually sick.
That's sick. I'm into that. One of the Wachowskis is back. Keanu and Carrie Ann Moss are both going to be in it, so that's cool. But yeah, Microsoft.
It's not a double Wachowski production.
No.
That's huge.
Yeah.
No. One of them sitting it out.
Only Lana.
I think, yes, Lana only. Lily's not involved.
And I don't think they've said why.
No.
But I read something and it was like, it didn't seem like it was sus. It seemed like it was just like, yeah, I don't know. We're busy.
Yeah. Right.
Only I have time to do it. See you later.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's cool. And Microsoft is constantly...
No Lawrence Fishburne confirmed yet.
Right.
But we'll see.
We'll see.
Stadia.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, I don't know jack shit about any of the stuff they've been saying about Stadia. I've completely lost interest in it when it became obvious that they were going to expect you to pay full price for games on there.
Well, it's not just you that's lost interest, Adam, because that is the general vibe around Stadia. They had this big half an hour sort of presentation. Here's all these, you know, big, huge, you know, popular games that are coming out on it. Destiny 2 is going to be on there.
The list of stuff as well is like Cyberpunk 2077 yep. was announced yep. and they showed some more gameplay and stuff, mm-hmm. which is cool.
Yep.
Doom Eternal is on there.
Yeah.
And whatever, but I don't know, man. Don't make me fucking pay full price for a game that I don't own on a system I don't own.
Yes.
That I'm paying a subscription fee to as well. Is that the setup?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
weird.
Yeah, fuck that.
It's a dumb thing to do. Because, like, sure, like, Gamescom might not be as big as E3 or, you know, whatever. But this is still, you know, a press release. And if the press release is like, hey, we're a brand new service that you don't already have, that you don't already have equipment for, whether or not you know that you need equipment for it or not is unclear.
Mm.
Anyway, we're not going to explain what we are and why you should pay for it. We're just going to tell you the 7 games that are coming out on it that you already probably have.
Yeah.
It's really dumb.
Yeah, what a botched.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this becomes more relevant when the next generation comes around and a PS5 and an Xbox 2 or whatever get announced and they're like fucking $800 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe then this becomes more appealing.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I also think that you need to start explaining it properly to consumers now. Like and it's not that hard. You just need to say like, yeah, all you need is a controller and a subscription and you don't need to buy a $900 console. You don't need to buy a $3,000 PC.
Yeah.
You just need to pay $8 a month and you know, some initial thing and then you can play video games.
Yeah.
Well, but every game is you have to pay for separately.
That's also true.
Yeah, you have to pay full price for games. So for this to work, I feel like either it would need to have the subscription fee with some games included in that.
Yep.
Or pay for games and pay the $60 and you get it. But not both at the same time.
That is weird.
And especially because it's going to, I don't know, like it is still probably technically cheaper than a console. But also having to worry about all the internet stuff, not having any sort of ownership over it. It's just less appealing.
Initially it is, but if you subscribe long term, well, then at a certain point it's like, well, you've now just paid the price of a console.
Yeah. Right.
Like, so what, yeah.
I mean,
so
that would have to be a long time, but.
Yeah. Well, but, you know.
But not heaps long.
But not really. If it's $10 a month, that's what, like, no, that's 50 months. That's a long time.
Yeah.
I guess it's like about the lifespan of a console.
Yeah.
And like it, but the fact that there's not anything other than just access being offered, it appears for that subscription fee is strange.
Right. I think you can either look at it from the perspective of, oh, cool, that means I don't have to have another bulky piece of tech in my house. Or you can look at it from the perspective of, I don't actually own anything for this price.
Right, right.
Yeah, and well, and you have to worry, like, the price of a console to me, and I think to a lot of people, is worth not worrying about all the internet connection stuff.
Of course.
And all the ownership shit, so yeah.
It is weird when you're basically just paying a fee for the right to be able to purchase other stuff.
Yes.
That is kind of weird. And that, I mean, that does exist in plenty of other things. I mean, Costco is probably a good example.
Yeah.
But something about this just seems, when it's... Yeah, when it's getting it on this service is essentially going to be what? Close to the same price of just going and buying the disc in a shop, which you then have and you can resell and you can play it offline.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard to make an argument for being able to be for going for Stadia when it's stacked up that way.
I couldn't tell you what it is as well, but Google gives me the impression that they have no fucking idea about video games or anything to do with them, and they don't seem to want to have anything to do with them, and they're just doing this as like a service they don't seem to understand. Do you know what I mean?
Well, they also, they're one of the biggest companies in the world, so they just want to have a finger in every pie, and I guess they just figured that this is the easiest way of them doing that.
Yeah.
It's just, there's something about the way that they're approaching it that makes me think that they're not going to be that good at it because they don't seem to be able to market it as though it's a... I don't know. There's something off about it that makes me not think it'll work.
There's a weird element to it because I think... Not initially. I think you need to buy, like, their controller or whatever, maybe. But they're like, oh, at some stage you'll be able to play with an Xbox controller. You won't even need, you know, anything that says Google on it.
Yeah.
All you'll need is to sign into an app on your smart TV or whatever. So it's just becoming less and less of a hands-on thing that you own or are paying for. You're literally just paying to sign in to an interface, which, I don't know, maybe that's the appeal. Maybe it's just like, yeah, I don't want a box that says Netflix on it. I don't want a Netflix remote. I just want to be able to use Netflix. But again, I guess you're not paying to see each movie. So...
I don't know. There's something weird.
But if you look at it strictly as, and I think we talked about this when it was first announced, the idea that it's basically almost like a Switch, but for like bigger scale games. So if you're traveling, you take the iPad with you.
Right.
You can play Doom Eternal in your hotel room, which is of course dependent on you being in a hotel that has good enough internet.
Yes.
You then can't use it on the plane as well.
Yep.
But I guess that it seems weird because there are kind of like just enough positives to it that they could spit. They're just not being smart about the message.
Absolutely.
Like they just need to get in front of it more and go, hey, this is what you can do.
Yeah.
Like you travel a lot. Now you'll have access to you won't have to play Cyberpunk on your TV at home. If you're traveling, you can take it away with you.
Yes.
This is going to be cheaper than just going out and having to buy a console. It's less clutter in the house.
Yeah.
Like all these things, but...
Yeah. You're right. The convenience is surely the key selling point. It's like... And saying, like, you don't necessarily need this controller. It's you can go to your mate's place and sign in on their TV.
Mm.
And as long as they've got a couple of controllers, you can play, you know, whatever. You can play Forza Horizon against each other. You can just go in and resume your Destiny 2 game. Like, there are a lot of, points in the convenience column, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think it's being sold properly.
I mean, any product has negatives that are there to find, but it's up to you, the one making it, to get in front of that and, you know, be selling it in a way where that potentially to people just doesn't matter or they don't focus on that, which it seems like... That's what they've allowed to happen with this.
And I don't think in Australia it's ever going to get past the... Our internet's not fast enough.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
We'll all end up buying one. We'll be there day one for the purposes of this show.
There was like an opening night show that had some stuff. Little Nightmares 2 got announced. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of us ever ended up playing through that game.
I played a bit of it.
You played some of it, Tommy.
Yeah,
right?
I played a few hours of it and really liked it. Sorry, there's possums on my balcony.
Yeah,
and I've got washing drying out there.
I was about to get a photo and they ran away.
Yeah.
Dude, possums love clothes.
Yeah, I really liked it. I liked what I played. I've been meaning to pick it up and continue it. So it's cool. It had a cool atmosphere to it. Similar-ish kind of vibe to Inside, but with a bit more of a kind of stylized, almost kind of clay animation-y kind of look for the characters and stuff. But yeah, some really cool stuff in there. So it's cool that it's getting a sequel.
Yeah.
Another game I can play 1 hour of and not finish.
A lot of other sort of updates and bits and pieces on a bunch of games that are coming out, but like nothing that exciting, to be honest.
Nothing
like
major.
Dragon Quest XI S is still coming out. There was a gameplay trailer for Vampire Bloodlines 2, which was kind of interesting, or a gameplay demo that looked pretty unfinished.
Yep.
Still, like, the sound wasn't all there and stuff like that. But it looks like they're making a vampire game, which is cool.
Yep.
They showed a bunch of Witcher 3 on the Switch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's been the first time I think that's been publicly shown. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I reckon.
Yeah.
It looks all right. Yeah. It's running pretty well. Yeah. It, you know, it's fuzzy and kind of, you know, worse, obviously. But
well, I asked about
pretty solidly.
I asked about this in our Facebook group because I watched it with the context of having never played it.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, this looks actually pretty good.
Right. It just looks like a slightly older game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, and so I kind of posted about it in the group because I was kind of interested what it looks like to people who have a lot of experience with that game and have a decent enough basis for comparison.
Yeah.
And yeah, people seem to think that it stacks up. It's a pretty decent looking port, which is pretty impressive given that I think it was like announced and then there was a lot of skepticism slash concern about how effectively they'd be able to pull this off. But it looks like whoever's, I forget the name of the company that's done the port, but is it Saber something? Anyway, it seems like they've done a pretty impressive job.
Yes, I was impressed.
Yeah.
I was very skeptical, but I'm impressed.
Yeah. So good on them.
Yeah, yeah, agreed. Like, that's one of my favorite games ever. And that looks like a perfectly good way to play it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and they've also announced the release date, which is, I believe, October the 12th or 13th or something.
Right.
Hey, mid-October. You might be right. We're getting pretty close. I mean, like, there's not heaps more stuff than that, I reckon, about Gamescom, honestly. It looks like, you know, some cool stuff that they're showing there if you're there.
Yep.
But not heaps in the way of brand new news. There's just little tiny bits and pieces about a whole bunch of, you know, different games that are coming relatively soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Need for Speed Heat, I'm surprised how into it I am.
Right.
I think I like Forza. I think it's a fun, I think the driving mechanic of Forza is fantastic.
Uh-huh.
Feels so good. Feels like really natural. You just have to play it a couple of times to get into how it works. And that's really fun to drive around. I felt there wasn't a lot there for me in the way of impetus to keep going from event to event. So, okay, that's another race. That's another race. And that's, I guess, another race. I love the Need for Speed games. Right. Or at least I love the good ones. They were so fun. There was that extra element of, like, boosting and car combat stuff, as well as the races that I just fucking loved. And I'm excited to play another one.
Awesome.
There was a pretty long Avengers gameplay trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there was too.
I watched a fair bit of it, and I think it looks good.
Right.
Yeah. I think it looks really fun.
I'm struggling to just get past how weird the characters look when you're so used to the sort of movie versions of them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And I completely agree. And the start of that trailer where they all show up and they're standing around looking like fucking weird knockoff versions of the real characters sucks.
Yeah.
And then you watch the gameplay and it's like, fuck, that'd be really fun. Like Thor flying around smashing people with a hammer.
Yeah.
The Hulk's fucking ripping bits of concrete out of the ground and throwing them at people. Yeah, like the Captain America stuff that's closer to like a Batman game almost, or like a weird sort of spy guy. I think it looks fun. I don't know if it's going to be a great whole game because, yeah, I agree, those character face models just feel weird to me. But it looks like it could be fun to play.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I don't have much more to say about Gamescom than that.
Yeah.
I think that's probably it, yeah.
Let's do a quick, just a quick wrap up on a couple of things. What I've been playing during the week.
Yes.
Boys, I've done it. I've finished Fire Emblem. Wow. I'm a free man.
Wow, congratulations.
I feel like I'm...
That's crazy.
I feel like I'm Cameron Poe, like, you know, I'm stepping off the bus. I'm on my way to freedom. That was me last night. Wind in my hair. I just need to get on this plane. Nothing's going to go wrong. And then I'm back to my wife and kid.
Yep.
Andy Dufresne, who already finished it a long time ago, is on the beach polishing his boat. And then you, the recently finished Morgan Freeman, walk up and say, damn... Them Black Eagles, how about that ending or whatever? I'm so far away from finishing it. I've had barely any time to get much further with it.
Yeah.
And I'm furious about it.
52 hours I clocked by the time I was done.
So do you remember roughly how many hours you'd put in when you got to the time skip? Was it 30-ish, I think
you said? The time skip is over halfway.
You're right.
35, I think, maybe. 30, 35.
Okay, so I've got to
really
that.
Remember.
I got to that. That's the last thing I did.
Mm-hmm.
22 hours.
Okay.
So I'm going a little faster clip.
Yep.
I think, but then like we talked about last week, I was spending so much time between missions, fucking around, trying to recruit people.
Yep.
After I got a full team back again, I've sort of kind of been burning through it a little bit. Sort of automating a lot of teaching and stuff like that, getting straight to the battles that I'm enjoying more now that I have 10 people rather than two.
Yeah, with everyone in your world dead, you're not doing the stuff that's taking up a lot of my time, which is the conversations between them.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, like, I definitely, by the end, I was finding myself just wanting to, like, barrel through to the missions at the end of the month because you... By the end, you're not there's no paralog battles anymore, which are the little story battles in between months that I kind of found kind of interesting because they had different conditions to them or they had some sort of story around them. My team was all leveled up like pretty nicely, so it didn't feel as imperative to be doing the studying and like really boosting up the skills because I like definitely still helped a bit but felt like I've got a good balance of everyone. And the other sort of side battles that you do, they only take place on, I think, maybe four or five different maps. So by the end, doing those ones in the middle of the month, I was just kind of like, yeah, I just kind of want to get through to the mission battles because they're always on unique maps.
Yes.
There's story stuff happening. There'll be different conditions where you've got to, you know, block off an entrance so no reinforcements can come in, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So the last, like, three or four battles are really great. Like, they're... And in all of them, a bit of a fake out where I thought, oh, this is the last one. And then, you know, it kind of stretches on a bit more. But I like that. I like that it's not like a book or a movie where you quite clearly see the signposting of the end coming.
Yeah.
I
love the anime little cutscenes. I think they're really fun. They're really cool.
Yeah.
Like, I'm starting to, just go straight to the missions because I'm enjoying the weird story unfolding in those little clips.
They do more and more of the actual animated, like hand animated things as it gets more and more on because they're showing you stuff that they can't use the engine for. Like they're showing you battles and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But what a great game.
It's like, it's so good.
What a journey. Like felt a bit of sadness. It like really felt like at the end. Yeah, I feel every one of those hours that I put into this. I just fucking loved it. And I guess we'll talk more about it I think like definitely later in the year, certainly when you've played a bit more at him, because what's been interesting knowing that we're all playing different houses and talking to a friend who is playing the same house that you are, Adam, like the way that the story kind of unfolds and the different side of this event that you I'm really interested to hear what it's like on the other side to what I did.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Mm. Yeah, me too.
Well, and apparently there are multiple paths within each house.
Yes,
too,
there are.
To some extent. So this game's fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, the one that you're playing as, from what I understand, is the kind of the most interesting of all of them in terms of like the choices that you get and the path that the story kind of goes on. But yeah. Oh, feel empty now. Very briefly, I started. There's a demo up on the Switch eShop at the moment for Dragon Quest XI, which I started playing this morning. I played like maybe an hour of it, if that. Probably not quite that, but it's great. Mm-hmm. It's the very start of the game. Your progress will carry over into the full game when that comes out. I've read online that it's a demo that's between 5 and 10 hours, which is a pretty generous amount for a free demo. The big upgrade from on this version from the PS4 and Windows versions that have been out for a year is that this one has fully orchestral music.
Right.
And it sounds fucking great.
Nice.
The music is so good. And the presentation and the style and everything is just right up my alley. So,
nice.
Yeah, really enjoying this. Very, very like classic traditional JRPG. But, I think this is one that I'm really going to get all in on.
So, nice.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to save your thing, Ben, for next week?
Which of my things?
Well, you've forgotten about it. It was the thing you said for me to remind you of, but we won't remind you until next week.
Oh, how are we doing for time? Because I've only played a little bit of that. I might as well just mention it.
We can talk more about it next week.
Yeah, I want people to play it. It's a fantastic game that I'm loving called Catherine. It's by Atlus, the makers of Persona.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming all of them. It's a dating sim crossed with a puzzle game, crossed with, I guess, like a horror movie. And I'm really into it. So if you have an Xbox, you can get it. It's an Xbox 360 game, so you can get it on the store or buy a copy and play it backwards compatible. It's a sick game. And yeah, I'll talk about it more next week.
There's a remaster coming on the 3rd of September.
Oh, wow.
Hell yeah.
Or like half remaster, half kind of upgrade-y thing.
Yeah. That's why I got this, because I was reminded of it by, I guess, a new story about that. But yeah, more about that next week.
Yeah. Cool. All right, let's wrap it up for this week, folks.
What a great 200th episode it was.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah, it was.
Four away,
guys.
Four away from the big one.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for joining us, everyone. You can support the show on Patreon if you would like to do so.
Oh, yeah.
Very much appreciated by us. You get a bonus episode every week. We also have premium episodes on Bandcamp where we focus in on a franchise series of games, developer, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They all go for like a couple of hours, and they are, I think, $1 or more. Yeah, pay what you want, $1 or more. There's a bunch of them there. Go check that out. filthycasuals.com.au for the links to all of our socials and everything else we have going on. Go see Adam at the Edinburgh Fringe. You've got a couple of days left to do that at 11:35 at the City Cafe.
That's right. Get there early, though.
Yeah, get there early.
It's not really worked, the reserving seats thing, because it's just free. So you kind of just have to get there early, sorry.
Yeah.
Thanks to everyone who's come as well.
Nice.
It's been sick.
Awesome. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
happy four away from 204th episode, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.